grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Houston, we have a problem. These are familiar words to many of you. You know immediately the context, but like so many things, like the song we just heard, the younger generation may not know about the Apollo 13 mission and how 55 years ago a nation hung on those words as three crew members, three astronauts, hung in the balance between heaven and earth, between life and death. If you want to know the rest of the story, you got to watch the movie, which came out about 30 years ago now, Pat. Can you believe it's been that long? The movie with Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon. Here's a clip just to give everybody a little context of what it might have been like.
Got a problem here.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tanks.
Whoa. Hey.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem. Can you imagine being up there in space, especially with those top-notch computers they had back then? It's been a while, so I want to recall some of the highlights of the Apollo 13 mission, which happened at the height of the Cold War. The Apollo missions were part of the space race between the United States and Soviet Russia. The objective of the 13th mission was to land on the moon again, to further show American superiority and technology. But before they could get there, something happened. An explosion in one of the oxygen tanks put the mission and the lives of the three men in grave danger. In short, because of a malfunction, the mission of Apollo 13 suddenly became, it changed. It suddenly became simply getting the astronauts back home to Earth alive. Knowing the mission is critical. In life, things change. So knowing what we are doing and why is vitally important. In the short term, knowing your mission helps you decide what to say yes to and what to say no to. A mission helps an organization, groups of people like this church, take action in a unified way. That's why we've been revisiting the mission. Paul has been sharing it with you in the announcements at the beginning of the service, and you'll start to hear it around in different communications. Our mission, again, is it's pretty simple. Look up, right? Look up in worship, look around in fellowship and in Bible studies, and then look outward beyond these walls to reach out to other people with the gospel of Jesus. That's the mission of our church. With a unified mission, we're able to accomplish far more as a group than individually, acting independently. So in the longer term, a mission helps us keep the main thing the main thing. So while the initial mission of the Apollo astronauts was to land on the moon, when the tank exploded, the mission became just about getting the astronauts home alive. Things change in this world all the time. You know what I'm talking about. We see it here in our Acts reading too. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's there with Silas and Timothy, and eventually Luke joins them. In fact, here in our passage, Luke was the writer of Acts. This is where the pronoun starts, not they, but we. So we assume Paul is with them at this point. And they are planning to preach the good news of Jesus to the people in Asia, modern-day Turkey, as Karen just pointed out as she read the message. Thank you for that geography, right? It's a good reminder. But then something happened, right? The Holy Spirit happened. The Holy Spirit forbids them to preach the gospel there in Asia at that time. We don't know why. And then Paul has a divine vision to go to Macedonia, to Greece, to Europe, the new continent, really, right? This isn't the first time, though, that things have changed in the young church. If we go back to Acts chapter 11, our reading from last week, things changed when Peter had a vision to extend God's gospel, God's ministry, to the Gentiles, to all believers. Then it changed again after this reading when Paul and the other apostles met in Jerusalem to talk about the mission, how to bring these new Jesus followers into the church in Acts chapter 15. There was disagreement at that Jerusalem council, as it is called, with some devoutly Jewish believers saying that the new Christians had to be circumcised to be saved, according to the law of Moses. The council finally agreed with what the rest of Scripture says, that it is faith from the Holy Spirit, finally, that saves a person. Relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Isn't this the mission of the church? Isn't this our mission? This mission informs everything that we do and don't do as a church, and how and why we do it. The Apostle Paul knew his mission. So when the Spirit said, not to Asia, but go to Macedonia, what did Paul do? He went. He went. And when he got to Philippi, he waited for a time. He waited for the Jewish Sabbath, Saturday, and he went outside the gate, since apparently there was no synagogue in the city, and they had heard that there was a place of prayer down by the river. So where did they go? Outside the city, down by the river. Notice, when the apostles got there, they didn't go about setting up their own thing there in the city. They joined what was already happening in that area. They were looking to engage other people where they were at. New people who did not have a relationship with God through Jesus. These men who already knew Christ and His salvation went to them. And isn't that similar to what Life in Christ Church is doing in Gastonia, our church plant here in the Charlotte area? Most of the people who make up the core group with Life in Christ Church have already have a saving faith in Jesus. Most of them worship at an established church, in fact. Some are even leaving their own communities every 2 weeks to meet in that community. The mission is to start new relationships in Gastonia, grounded in the gospel and in faith and faith in Jesus. Maybe God will give you a vision to join them in some way. Maybe God is giving you a vision to make a greater commitment to this ministry than just meeting on Sundays. They have opportunities to do events throughout the week from time to time, and we'll be advertising those as well, fellowship events and events in the community. So look for communication, and as you are able, maybe you have a way to be a missionary without going overseas. The good news is, wherever you find yourself, God is putting people in your life who do not have a relationship with Jesus, or are struggling to understand and believe that the Christian faith really is that simple. It really is. Yes, our mission is simple. All you have to do is look at our text this morning in Acts. In three short verses, the church at Philippi is planted. Paul shows up. They speak to the women there. One of the women, Lydia, is already a worshiper in God, but does not know Jesus. So when she heard him, she believed. And she was baptized and opened her house to them. And voila, the church is born. Pretty simple. Simple, but we make it complicated. It's simple, though, when God's people remember the mission and show up. How beautiful are the feet that bring the good news of Jesus, ready to show God's love and grace by introducing people to Jesus. It's simple, but we can make it complicated, don't we? I usually hear people raise three main objections when it comes to sharing their faith. The first thing people say is, well, what if I say something wrong? Right? And we don't want to say something wrong. I understand that. The other one is, what if they reject me or the message? And the third one is, what if they see me as a sinner? I would say that if you are struggling to witness to others or invite someone to church, it's likely for one of these reasons. This is where knowing your mission comes in. By the way, I imagine that the early disciples had a keen understanding of their mission. They still had Jesus' words echoing in their ears before he ascended into heaven. Remember at the end of the Gospel of Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. What should we be doing? Oh, yeah, go and make disciples. This is what we see Paul doing here. And as a result, the refrain of Acts tells us, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. God is still doing this work today. That's the mission. We just heard a bit of it here in Bible class between services again. We had a young man come from an immigrant ministry, right? That they witnessed to people coming from other countries seeking asylum here and whatnot. And his organization and Dave Drevlo here at our church, that's how he came here, knows him and he's involved. They helped him get settled here. Right? What an opportunity for people who come from very different backgrounds, very different experiences than we do. Go, speak Jesus and make disciples. Like Paul, God calls all his disciples to live like Jesus is Lord of your life, because he is. And then go. And tell others, make disciples. Don't make it complicated. We don't have to have a doctorate in biblical theology to start witnessing to our faith, right? To that first objection that I just raised, take a deep breath. You can't really say the wrong thing. If you go with the Holy Spirit, which you have already received in your baptism, pray and recognize that before you even say a word to someone about Jesus, the Holy Spirit is already working on them, in them, in their life. It's not all up to you. Look at what happened in the book of Acts when Paul went to Lydia. Verse 14, Acts says, when Paul spoke to Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. It wasn't Paul saying all the perfect, beautiful words. In fact, he, in kind of a self-deprecating way, says that he isn't always eloquent, right? Somebody falls asleep and falls out of a window when he preaches. Don't anybody fall out of a window this morning. But you see, it's not complicated for us. Because the Lord is the one who does the heavy lifting, works deep in the heart, right? Who does the converting work. It's not us. We're just called to go and share our faith, share what we have seen and heard, what we've read, what we know about God through the Word that we get to share in every day here when we look up, right? Trust that the Lord will do the converting. Just be sure to share what somebody at one time was willing to share with you. Might have been a long time ago, right? But for the grace of God. The second objection, what if they reject, people will say. And Jesus answered this pretty clearly when he sent out the 72 saying, the one that hears you, hears me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Look, God's mission is not about tricking people or manipulating them to believe or getting them to do all the right things that we think that they should do to be a Christian. If their hearts are prepared by the Holy Spirit, they will respond. They will come, just as Lydia did. It may take some time, right? But that's where that patience that we've been talking about in the Bible class comes in. The Bible class on reaching out is called urgent, patient urgency? Urgent patiency. Patient urgency. Yeah. Right? Be patient. Don't give up. You know, I was thinking about my dad, who for 15 years invited me to come to church. And he never gave up. He knew that the quickest way to a 20-year-old's heart is through food, so he would always invite me to brunch. And sometimes I would take him up on that, right? Until finally, in God's time, Steve made a commitment, came back to church, right? But my dad never gave up. Don't give up. The third objection, which I really find kind of interesting. What if they see me as a sinner, right? They might even think I'm a hypocrite, right? Oh, those hypocrites. The world likes to call Christians hypocrites. It's the easiest way to kind of keep making a commitment to God, the one true God, at arm's length, right? Just try to run down God's people, right? What if they see me as a sinner? That's an easy one. You are a sinner. So am I. Listen, I know it's not easy to live out God's law in a sinful and changing world. We do fall short too often. And that may feel like a great weight, except for this, right? If you know Jesus, you know that he's the one that carried the weight for you and for me. So really, this one is easy. Confess that you're a sinner to them, right? And see it as an opportunity to point them to Jesus and to your desperate need for forgiveness that only Christ can give you. And keep doing that until they finally see that they need Jesus too. And that's hard. I get it. It's simple. It's not always easy. It's also an opportunity to acknowledge the great challenge that we face of faithfully living out God's commandments in a sinful world. As a parent, the best example I can think of is what might be the loving and faithful thing to do with one child or in a certain situation may look very different in another. If you want an example of this, just compare Paul's stance on circumcision in Galatians and then go to 1 Corinthians, right? He seems to take a different view based on context. And so finally in Corinthians, he writes, "To the Jews, I became a Jew. In order to win the Jews, I became all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Paul knew his mission. If Paul can travel from Turkey to Greece without airplanes or trains, right? It's a long way. Maybe we can take 5 minutes, walk across this church or in the midst of our busy day and share with someone who God might be putting on our hearts, because it's not too late, right? Jesus hasn't come back yet. There's always time. Some might have accused Paul of being a hypocrite, right? And some would accuse our Lord of having a demon at one time. But even in this sinful, changing world, Jesus' mission, God's mission, has never changed. Think about that. Since the beginning of time up until today, until the very end, until Jesus comes back, the mission will never change. The mission changed in the movie clip, right? I was trying to tie it all up here from the beginning, and I thought if the angels were watching that day in the Garden of Eden, right, back in Genesis, when sin entered the world, they may have radioed up to Mission Control Center and said, "Heaven, we have a problem," after the original sin, right? But God already knew. God already knew. That's why he promised. Clear back in Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. "And then he sent his son into the world to seek and to save the lost. More than you and me, all people who face the same doubts and fears and tribulations that we do, with one big difference. Knowing Jesus makes all the difference every day." So in the last verse of our gospel reading that Pastor Roger just read, Jesus says it all when he says, "In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. By my death, my resurrection, and my ascension, I have overcome the world. And now may the peace which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds, even in the midst of all tribulation, in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen."